Okay, so now we're going to just add another believer in, Amy Battles.
Hello?
Hey, Amy, God bless you.
God bless you? Oh, cool.
How you doing? Oh, we can see you.
Oh, marvelous.
God bless you. So you're just in touch. I do apologise. I know you added me today, and I wasn't too sure whether you was going to join the Skype or not. You just added me, so I'm like, do I add her? Do I leave her out? We just had a wonderful sharing and testimonies. And tonight, on the Skype with you is Scott Shemp from New Jersey, I believe. And also Kim Hiley, who lives in St. Helens near Liverpool, Manchester way. We're in Bristol. And you're from Atlanta, right?
I'm actually in Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, Texas. That's it. Yeah, I knew it was somewhere that way. I know there's distance apart, but
just a few miles. Right.
So, anyway, welcome to the Skype Fellowship. I'm going to give it over to him. And if you can mute your mic, that would be really wonderful. And my wife, Kim, is going to share tonight. So God bless your heart. What did you say, Kim?
No, right. Talk after.
Yeah, and we'll chat afterwards, okay? So God bless your heart, and I'm going to hand this over to Kim right now. So bless you, everyone.
God bless you all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And again, it's a great honour and a privilege to share the word. I know that Lawrence was sharing earlier about the person that had heard the word and they were getting healed from cancer. I started my new job in January, no longer delivering for a parcel delivery company, but actually delivering prescriptions, medication, to patients that are, their mobility isn't very good, so they can't get out to the chemist. So the chemist makes a delivery free to those that can't get there. And I guess I've been doing this job about 5 months now. So I'm regularly going to people maybe once, twice, three times a week. And so you get to know these people quite well. And there's one lady, and she was very, very ill with cancer. And she was sharing with me how this cancer, she had been healed once, and how this cancer had come back a second time and then a third time in lots of different places in her body. And she invited me in because we were trying to get her medication organized, and there was items that she'd requested that she didn't have. So I'm sat on the sofa next to her, and I just got inspired to share how I was healed of cancer. And I didn't go into great depth. I just briefly told her that, you know, my husband heard from God that I was ill, but not unto death. And just that these words, it was like a battle between, do we believe the word that God gave my husband, or do we believe the words that the doctor said? And she was really blessed to hear this. And she said to me, she said that she really has been very positive, and she thinks it's made a big difference. She didn't say she believed in God, but she just said that she was very positive about her condition. And today I delivered medication to her, and she looks so much better. You know, she had colour in her face and she looked so much better. When I went back to the chemist and I spoke with one of the girls, she said, it's a miracle. This lady was on end of life medication for 4 months. And she's the only patient they know of that has come off of the end of life medication, and is back on just normal tablets.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it really blessed me. And I thought that, you know, it's, I never went into a big lecture about God. I never went into a great lecture about healing. I just said that the words that we speak are very powerful, and that when we have a condition and we're not well, it's good to speak very positively. And she was blown away by that. And to believe today, seeing her, you know, the sun was out and she just looked a whole completely different person. And then to hear that she's not on her end-of-life medication anymore really blessed me. So I thought that we would take a look tonight at some healings. Because usually, you know, you get a healing and then a doubt comes in. We read it a lot in the Word, you know, where somebody's been healed and then somebody else has put a doubt in there. So I just wanted to show you that, because it is important that we don't allow these doubts in, that we don't let the adversary, you know, it's not just about healing, it's about anything that we do in our life, that we could take 2 steps forward. You hear that saying, oh, I take 3 steps forward and then I take 5 steps back, you know. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to take 5 steps forward and no steps back. He wants us to keep on moving. So how do we do that? So if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. And I'm just going to read from verse 1. And it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Verse 2, and behold, they brought to him, Jesus Christ, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, I think if we go to Luke chapter 5, we can see this in a little bit more depth. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Because it says there, and Jesus seeing their faith. Well, when we read that little verse there, there doesn't seem a lot of faith in there, does there? But if we read in Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. And it came to pass, this is Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was to heal them, present in italics. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in. So they want to bring him into the room where Jesus Christ is, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. So you can imagine Jesus Christ is in this house and it is just filled with people from every room, front door, back door. And they've got this guy on a bed and they just can't get him through because of the crowds. So it says they went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the mist before Jesus. So you can just imagine now, a man sick of the palsy on a bed, they've raised him up onto the roof, they've removed a few tiles, unlike in our houses today, because they'd have to go through the tile, through the batten, through the insulation, through the attic, then through the ceiling, and you know, it's a long way down. But in those days, it wasn't quite so complicated. They've removed a few tiles and they've let this man down into the room from the ceiling all the way down on this bed. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now this guy had to have great faith in the people that were actually taking him up there to start with. But the guys had the faith that if they placed him in front of Jesus Christ, that he was going to get healed. If we carry on reading, it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, now we always get one, don't we? Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath the power upon earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, to the guy that was ill, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately, didn't say it took a while, immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And in verse 26 it says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear or respect, saying, we have seen strange things today. Right? And really, it was a strange thing, because this guy is coming down through the ceiling. Great faith got this man his deliverance. But then you always got the one or two that wants to try and put the doubts in there. You know, they were saying, well, who are you to forgive his sins? But see, Jesus Christ didn't do anything in his own strength. And, you know, he turned around and said, well, is it easier to say, well, I forgive you of your sins, or arise and walk? And this guy literally got up, and the bed he was laying on, he took with him back to his own house. Immediately he'd done that. So we don't have to let these doubts, you know, we will get people with doubts, you know, like when you give testimonies and people say, well, did that really happen? Or, no, that's not possible. But we have to stand fast on what we know and what we've experienced. I was talking with Lawrence today, and, you know, there's certain situations going on, and I said, our faith's strong because we have actually experienced it. When you live by faith, which in whichever category, if you're going through a situation and you're holding in there with your faith, and then you see the deliverance, that builds your faith. You know that, you know without a shadow of a doubt that God's come through. Like with my healing, with my deliverance, we never doubted it. And yet there was lots of people around us that put the doubts in, but we didn't accept their doubts. We kept on what God said. God said, I was ill, but not unto death. And I really do believe that's why I'm still here today. Because we knew what the promises of God were, and we clung to them. And plus, also things going on in my mind, that how would Lawrence work the washing machine? He hadn't got a clue how to turn the Hoover on, and the dishwasher, and what would the kids do without me, you know, all these type of things. So it helped me to stay strong, having something to focus on, but also that I knew what God said. So do I believe God, or do I believe the doctor? That's how very simple it is sometimes. It's either believe in one or believe in the other. And if you truly want something, then you need to really grasp that faith and not waver. Because, you know, it says in the word that those that we will reap if we faint not. So no matter what the world's throwing at us, we have to hold on in there steadfastly until we see God come through. And some people say, well, I want it right now. Like this guy got it immediately. That's great. God's timing is another thing, and it is always perfect timing. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll carry on reading. I just wanted to take you to Luke so that you could see why this guy's faith was so strong. Matthew chapter 9, and again in verse 2, it says, oh, and I'm in Mark, Matthew and Mark, that helps if I'm in the right chapter. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, now you understand where that faith come from and what they'd done, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For, you know, they were thinking evil. And Jesus Christ knew it, and he told them to as well. He told them to their faces, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine own house. And he arose, and he departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, now we got the multitudes, the loads of people saw what had happened, they marvelled. and glorify God. See, when these healings take place, when great miracles happen, when we have testimonies, the glory goes to God, always. So, and glorify God, which had given such power unto only Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, which had given such power unto men. We have that same ability, because we now have Christ in us. We have the same ability to heal the man sick of the palsy. We have the same ability to heal cancer. We have the same ability to see limbs grow. We have the same ability for the blind to be seen. We have the same ability for the dumb or the deaf to speak and to hear. We have the same ability to heal a broken finger. You know, it doesn't always have to be on a large scale. We have the same ability just to ask God for protection on a daily basis. Same, as we now have Christ in us. I want to go on to verse 18, stay in Matthew, and we're going chapter 9, verse 18, and it says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And that's very simple. They just believed in their hearts that if Jesus Christ came and laid his hand on their daughter, that she would rise from the dead, that she would live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole, healed. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Carry on. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. See, here we go. We've got a bit of doubt coming in here now. They're laughing. They're taking the mickey because he's saying she's only sleeping and they all know she's dead. But when the people were put forth, in other words, he wanted to get the unbelief out of the room, he went in and he took her by the hand and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe you that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. In other words, don't go telling everyone, because I don't have time today to heal everyone. No, he didn't say that, but... and then it says in verse 31, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And verse 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. And right here in our Bible, we've got a little dash, and it says, it was never so seen in Pocket Church, Bristol. It was never so seen in Downend, Bristol. See, put your areas in there, guys, because all this happened in a short space of time. This is all in just one chapter. And we've got the same ability. So as this is coming up, I remember Danny driving And Amber saying, we never get from A to B because Dan is forever pulling over and healing people in the street. But see, that's what we're here for. If you see a need, you can meet it. You go and tell, ask the person, say, how are you today? You know, I noticed you were limping, or, you know, do you know you can be healed? And just want, just having that little ounce of faith, like the size of a mustard seed. And we could be the same, that it was never seen in the whole of Bristol. Here it says it was never so seen in Israel. Verse 34, but the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Well, here we go, bit of doubt coming in again. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus Christ is manifesting the power of God, and he's whooping ass. He's kicking ass. He's kicking that devil right where it hurts. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It's the same today, guys. The harvest is truly plenteous. You get out there and you'll see needs left, right and centre. But it's the labourers, those that walk by that faith, those that know the power of God, those that know without a shadow of doubt that God is here today. And he's real, and he's going to really, you know, move mountains so that you can get in there, minister, to give him the glory. And then we finish off in verse 38. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray to God that he will send forth labourers. Right, we ask God for one leader. Just ask God to put one labourer in front of you. And you share the word with that labourer, and then you see that labourer move. And that labourer will go and get another labourer, and so on. And before we know it, Jesus Christ will come back, and we'll all be together. Praise God. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Right. I want to go to Matthew chapter 14, so just over a couple of books. And in verse 31, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Right, so we all know this, you know, the sea's blustering. But when we get out there within this world, we can't afford to have a little bit of doubt. You know, we have to be fully convinced. And how do we get fully convinced? By reading the word. You know, just in Matthew chapter 9, there's enough there to sustain you while you're out ministering, knowing all the things that Jesus Christ accomplished in such a short space of time, that you've now got God in Christ in you and you are able to. But we need to speak the word. We need to build people's faith up. Now, I took the category of healing, but it could be in any category. Whether you're looking for a job, whether it's about finances, whether it's about healing, whether it's that you need a new place to live, whether you need a new car. It's all the same thing. Faith. You do not let one ounce of doubt come in to sidetrack you off of the path that God's put you on. So if you are believing for a car, then you continue to believe for a car. If somebody says, oh, well, you know, I think that car's too expensive, still go and look at it, because God has ways of knocking prices down. We've experienced it. If you're looking for a job, well, I can't find a job, there's nothing out there. You don't confess that. You don't confess there's nothing out there. There's a job there for you. God's given you a job. You go out in search of it, but you have faith when you search for it. You get real detailed on what you want. So, I want a job, like Lawrence used to say, I want a job that starts at 11, and finishes at 12, and I have an hour for lunch. Yeah. Get detailed about the job that you want. Get detailed on the hours that you want. Get detailed on the pay you want. That helps build your faith because you know in what to pray for. Maybe you're looking for a house. We were looking for a house. And we were in the car and we were travelling about from here, there and everywhere. And somebody said to us, well, you know, you're not possibly going to get a house because you've only got one area. Well, I only wanted to live in one area. That was my faith. But we got in the car and we travelled back and then I found another area that I really liked. So now I have two areas. Wow. Still wasn't pleasing to our housing officer at the time. And she said, you know, you need more than two. And then we driving through Pucker Church, we were living in sort of Kingswood, New Cheltenham at the time. We're driving through Pucker Church and I knew what I wanted in my mind. And I'm starting to reel it off and I'm saying to Lawrence, you know, it has to be, I want it in a cul-de-sac and I want it to have like the door in the middle of the house so that, you know, when the door opens there's plenty of room and the stairs go up in the middle of the house. And he's going, all right, Kim, and I want doors leading out on, you know, French doors out onto the garden.
What land do you live on?
And yeah, and he did say to me, I don't know what planet you're living on. And then we came along the bottom of this road. And we pulled up at the bottom of this road and I went, that's where I want to live, up in the top of that cul-de-sac. And that's all I said. And then I got fully persuaded that this was where I was going to live. I loved it. I thought the area was perfect for me. Lawrence raising the kids. And I thought, and then we had a look at the houses and I was like, oh my God, there's doors out onto the garden. Anyway, we get back to our old house. And there's a little piece of paper put in the door to ring the housing officer. And she said, ring me urgently. We've got a house that has come up. And I think it might just be the perfect house for you. But it's not in the area that you asked for. So we ring her up. And she said, I don't know the number, but it's in Pucker Church. Well, I was screaming at the top of my voice. I was jumping up and down. And I said to Lauren, she didn't know the number. I said, that's it, we'll take it. No matter what, we'll take it. And there were so many blessings that came with us taking that house. Because they knocked it down, as you know, and they rebuilt a brand new one. And
extra rooms,
and it got decorated to our, you know, choice and colour scheme and goodness knows what.
Very sweet, it's a house in the
city. Yeah, the blessings just kept coming. But we drove up here. And we're looking, trying to look in windows. And the house at the bottom had no curtains. So, of course, Dad, Lawrence, decides this must be the house. And he's gone into the garden and he's squashed his nose against the window. And he's put his hands, like, to stop the light. And there's a little old lady sat in her chair. She nearly had a heart attack.
Washing her neck
curtains. Yeah, this man staring in her window. Anyway, she come to the door and he said, oh, I'm ever so sorry, my love. I thought this house was empty. He said, because we've just been offered a house here in this cul-de-sac. And she said, oh, no, you're on about the one up in the top right-hand corner.
One that she pointed out.
And that was where I pointed it out. So get detailed. When you pray, have faith. Get detailed. And your faith will grow the more detailed you get. And you don't let anybody sway you. Oh, that's not possible. Because many people said that's not possible. But we're living proof today.
Lawrence said it was impossible.
And yet he lives in that house to this very day. But, you know, the more we get, the more things we pray for, the more detailed we get, when they start to come to pass, your faith starts to grow. And then you start praying and asking for more things. Now, the house was a need. I'm not saying that you pray and your greed gets met. Okay? But the house was a need and God met that need. And my faith went 100-fold. And then with the healing of the cancer, again, we put our trust in God and he never, ever let us down. Never, ever. And this is situations that you read within the Bible, people that have had real strong faith, like lifting the man on the roof and lowering him down. That took great faith. Immediately he got healed. The lady with the issue of blood, you know, and it was against her culture to actually go out whilst bleeding. You know, she was deemed unclean. You know, women weren't, within their culture, they weren't allowed to go out during that monthly cycle. So that took great faith for her to go out and to touch the hem. And all she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she spoke it into being. See? We speak it into being. And we're going to read down to Matthew 14. Right, down to 31. And immediately, verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So we don't allow doubt to come in. We don't allow doubt to sidetrack us. Doubt is the opposite to faith. Right? So it's entirely up to you. You make the decision. You have free will choice. You either believe what God says or you believe what the world says. Well, you know, I've got a bad back. I can't be healed. Or I've got a bad back. I can be healed. Oh, I suffer with headaches. You know, and it's just, well, it's part and parcel of life. I just suffer with headaches. Or I don't suffer with headaches. My God has made me whole. I can't get a job. There's just no jobs out there. Well, my God will give me a job because he is my sufficiency. He supplies all my needs. See how easy it is? You believe either the world or you believe the word. Believe God or believe the devil. You have faith or you have doubt. It's just so simple. And even when we get attacked, it's still easy to say what God wants rather than what the devil wants. Let's turn to Matthew, chapter 11. And in verse 23, it says, well, let's do 22 first. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Right? Do you have confidence in God? Do you know that God's going to come through and meet your every need? Only you can answer that question. And if the answer's yes, you're going to go a long way. You're going to have many testimonies to tell. Miracles are going to happen one by one if the answer was yes. Verse 23, for verily or truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Like, I want that house up there. I want to live in that cul-de-sac. I want to be up in the top right-hand corner, away from the main road, safe for the kids. There was all reasons why I wanted to be here, and they were all godly reasons too. You know, it was profitable for me, Lawrence, and for my kids. There was all reasons, and every reason I took to God. So, you know, they weren't down in the city where the drugs and the rapes and the murders and the burglaries were going on. We were out in the countryside. The kids couldn't get from A to B without us driving them, because at night it was a dark road to come up, 3 or 4 miles, you know, and it wasn't good. So then we had control over them. You know, if they weren't outside the church in Mangotsfield at such and such a time, then their lift was gone. It was quiet in the village. There was no police, you know, no trouble. And we sort of had the control that we could raise our kids godly. And we made the right decision at the time. It was the best thing that was happening for our kids and for our family. You know, and when God sees your heart, whatsoever things you believe in your heart, see, then God honours it. We speak it out, we speak it into being, and it comes to fruition without doubting. See, it says, and you shall not doubt. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When you pray and you're praying for situations, you go to God wholeheartedly without a shadow of a doubt. And sometimes it's good to pray out loud, you know, because you're just reinforcing. And you're speaking those things which aren't into action, into being. And we're going to finish off in Romans. Romans chapter 4. See, the key is to speak it into being and not to doubt. Right? Whoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. You know, that mountain could be your problems, your troubles. It can be anything. It's not just a mountain. And as long as you don't doubt, then you can bring those things to pass. Romans chapter 4, and in verse 21 it says, and being fully persuaded. This is the part you have to pay. You have to be fully persuaded. Like I said, without any doubt, fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can put your name in there. He died for each and every one of us. So let's not let him down when it comes to walking by faith. We speak those things as though they were. If it's a job, if it's a house, if it's a car, if it's finances, whatever your situation, just don't doubt. Believe what God says and you shall have it. Believe what the devil says and you'll never have it. That's my sharing.
Okay, so thank you, Kim. That was really great. That should have lifted your faith, and God bless you guys. And we'll stay on. If you want to stay online and have a chat to Kim or Jason or Danny or Amber, they'd love to speak to you and get to know you a bit. And so that was a great fellowship tonight. God's so good. So thank you very much.